Billy Brim, coming to you with the Voice of One Witness radio broadcast from Branson, Missouri, right here in my office today. And if you were listening last Friday, I was sharing with you really how serious I think it is what our president and our State Department are doing in Israel, how they are forcing them to divide the land of promise and the city of Jerusalem. And folks, these things are so last days prophetically accurate according to the work of God. Now, I want to move over from that, which has to do with the nations, and I want to move over to the Church of the Living God. Since December, the Lord gave me a dream in December, and if you're on our partner list, you will be getting a partner letter telling you about the dream. I don't want to tell it on the air, but I do want to say to you this, that the glorious church must come forth now. And the glorious church must come forth in her power in the Word of God and by the Spirit of God. We are going to be what Ephesians talked about. And I did 2 weeks with Gloria Copeland yesterday. It won't be played until May on their Believer's Voice of Victory, even though I am going to be on their broadcast January 14 through 18, talking about what I see coming for 2008. And I do see coming for us that we're going to move on into the glory and the power of the church. Now, we have been reading to you a book, and I'm going to continue reading it to you. It is a book called They Told Me the Stories About the Glory of the Lord that appeared and how the miracles that came at Azusa Street. And I'll continue that right after this announcement, but I do want to tell you that the Lord has been dealing with me about this. We were ready to schedule an eschatology school, and we were considering to do the book of Daniel. But every time I prayed about it, the Lord dealt with me about the book of Ephesians and the glorious church. So I must obey the Lord. We have scheduled a school of eschatology at Pastor Larry Ollison's Walk on the Water Church in Osage Beach, Missouri. It's time for the glory in the church, and so we are going to do the book of Ephesians and the glorious church there. We're going to do a verse-by-verse study of Ephesians, and we're going to explore the glory of God from Genesis to Revelation. I'll also give an update, a little bit of time, to current events in the light of Bible prophecy. This teaching is open to the public at no fee, but there is limited seating because we're making this available throughout the United States. We believe people will come and be with us March 17 through 20th. We'll do about 3-hour teaching every morning, a little time for rest. It's a beautiful area, and then we're going to do an evening teaching. That's March 17 through 20th. We'll be going into detail. This will be up close and personal Bible teaching. And so we are asking you to register. If you come to the door and you aren't registered, we won't turn you away. But we want to know about how many people are coming because it is a little bit limited in its seating facility at the church. So please call our ministry offices, 417-336-4877, for more information, or to say, hey, we believe that we're going to come and take a March vacation at Osage Beach, Missouri, and we'll be there. Count on us, me and my wife, maybe my children, but we'll be looking for you. Now, we are going to be emphasizing the glory of the Lord, the manifestation of the presence of the Lord, and I'm reading to you from a book that was published in 2006 the storyteller is Tommy Welchel. But the book is called They Told Me Their Stories. He was a man who in the 1960s spent lots of time over a 6-year period with people who were children at Azusa Street and how they told of the miracles that happened for 3.5 years at Azusa Street. There was there every day a manifestation for 3.5 years of the glory of the Lord. Now I'm going to pick up reading again. And as he does it, he has each saint from Azusa Street tell their story and their miracles. And we're now talking about Sister Carney. And Sister Carney was 17 years old when she met Seymour and helped him to begin the revival at Azusa Street. We read you last week an amazing story of Sister Carney's, how she saw an ear that had been bitten off, actually, of a woman in a fight. She saw that ear grow back on. Now I take up reading page 33. This wasn't the first miracle that Sister Carney witnessed, but it was the first one she witnessed as a result of God working through her own prayers. As she told me this story, she recalled it as if the miracle had just happened the night before. I asked Sister Carney about other miracles she witnessed or participated in with a smile and a twinkle in her eyes. She talked about the mighty works of God. According to Sister Carney, many people were there in wheelchairs and cots brought in from hospitals around the area. Often before Seymour would come downstairs or even when he was sitting with the box on his head, Sister Carney and others would go to the sick and crippled and pray for them, and they would get their healing. She and the others would go to those in wheelchairs, pull up the footrests, pray for them, and then watch them walk off, pushing their empty wheelchairs. One of these wheelchair healings stayed with Sister Carney in a special way. One man had heavy braces on his legs and had not walked in years. She recalls that the wheelchair he was in had wheels made of wood. She prayed for him, and he was miraculously healed. His name was Brother Aubrey, and he was pastor of a big church in Los Angeles. I actually got to meet him because he would come to Pisgah to see his precious Sister Carney, because she was the one who had prayed for him when he was healed at Azusa. During one visit to Pisgah in the 60s, Brother Aubrey shared his version of the healing miracle. Sister Carney didn't say a word to him. She just walked up, pulled the footrests up, put his foot down, and then got the other foot, lifted it up. Remember, his legs had very heavy braces on them, then laid it down. Next, she told him to get up and walk, but Aubrey told her he couldn't walk because of the heavy braces. Sister Carney responded by getting the people with him to take off his braces so he could walk. They did, and he did. He got up and walked. I was amazed at the story and asked Sister Carney about how many miracles God had used her to personally perform. She told me that God blessed her by using her 2 to 3 times a day, the 3 to 4 days she attended each week. That's 6 to 8 miracles a week for over 3.5 years. Sister Carney explained that miracles abounded at Azusa. People with bones twisted were restored. You could hear bones popping and see arms and legs growing out. Now, I want to interrupt here a little bit. At Azusa Street, there had come the outpouring of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking with other tongues. But it was not so much the tongues that brought the people to Azusa Street, though they did receive there and carried that wonderful message around the world of being baptized with the Spirit. But what brought them were these miracles, this abundance of miracles, every day. I know a Pastor Barrett sailed from Norway. It took him that long, 1906, 07, 08. You had to sail across the ocean. He took the message back to Europe, and it reached Body. Alexander Body, an Anglican minister, and from him it reached Smith Wigglesworth. But the miracles is what drew the people. When you have the manifestation of the glory of God, you have miracles. Folks, we cannot remain powerless in these last hours. We must move on in the Holy Spirit so that there can be the manifestation of the glory and miracles. Now back to reading the book on page 35. Our talks turned from miracles performed by God through faithful saints attending the meetings to the difference in miracles when Brother Seymour was preaching. Now you remember that Brother Seymour is the black preacher with blind in one eye that God used to start the Azusa Street Revival. Sister Carney explained that when Brother Seymour would come down, there were even greater miracles. Seymour never had a set pattern. Rather, he would come down and put the box over his head, and then later would take the box off when directed by God, get up and do what God told him to do. Sometimes he would go to a certain section of wheelchairs or to a certain sections of cots. The cots were for people who had been carried in from the hospital. She explained that to her astonishment, Seymour would point at them and say, Everyone on the cots or wheelchairs, you're healed in the name of Jesus. Everyone on the cots or in the wheelchairs would get up and walk around fully healed of whatever malady they suffered from. Some of the greatest miracles were when the flames were above the building. Bones that were cracked and broken were totally healed. Our conversation would turn from the miracles performed by Seymour to Seymour personally. I wanted to know about this great man, and Sister Connie was a treasure chest of information. His story began with the box on his head. When Seymour came down to the meeting, he would sit and put a box on his head. At first, it startled Sister Connie. Sometimes he would sit with the box over his head for 10 minutes, and sometimes it would be an hour or more. Although the practice seemed ridiculous, Sister Connie realized that he was obeying God, no matter how silly or ridiculous it appeared. That apparent act of humble obedience led to mighty power when he removed the box. This box and act of humility were critical to the power of God displayed through Seymour. When Brother Smith asked Sister Connie what caused the miracles and Azusa to stop, she replied, "It stopped when Brother Seymour stopped putting that box over his head. When he quit coming down and putting the box on his head, it started dying." Seymour and Sister Connie became friends, and after Seymour married another lady, Sister Connie would often join them for dinner. Even in a social setting, she would feel the anointing on Seymour. She recalled that Seymour was very pleasant to be around. He was a humble man who always had a gleam in his eye, a smile on his face, and a deep, resonating voice. There was no question about his anointing. She recalled that if you touched Seymour, a kind of electricity could shock you that was so strong during a meeting that once she almost passed out. Of course, any discussion about Azusa turned to the Shekinah glory. When I asked her about her experiences in the presence of God's Spirit, Sister Carney's face would light up. She described it as being a part of heaven. To her, it was like breathing pure oxygen, and to her wonderment, it was always present. When I asked her to describe the Shekinah glory, fire reported by many, she told her story. She recalled the fire department coming because of a call that the building was on fire. When they arrived, they didn't smell any smoke or see any evidence of fire. She didn't run out with the firemen. She remembered that it was Brother Seymour, Bosworth, you remember Christ the Heater, John G. Lake, Smith, and Signs that ran out. And we're going to take up right here tomorrow. But if you'd like to have this very book for yourself, They Told Me Their Stories. We're making it available. It normally sells for $13. We're making it available for $10. We're making Kenneth E. Hagin's new book on tongues, that's the title, Tongues, available for $10 only to our radio listeners, because we want to know that you are out there. And our telephone number I'll give to you to call, and you can order these for your very self by calling 1-800-972-3447. That's 1-800-972-3447. Just say, "I'm a radio listener. I am out here." Even if you don't want the books, call us and tell us you're listening, because we're making a survey. But you can get this book, They Told Me Their Stories, for $10. Brother Hagin's book for $10. 1-800-972-3447. And this is Billy Brim saying shalom until tomorrow.